literally right now. There are 147 youth and leaders worshiping together at Camp Luther. Jeremy, one of the parents slash leaders, has been texting and sending pictures, and it's just been awesome to see what's going on. And we kind of facetiously said this morning, boy, a whole weekend without any broken bones, we're going to call that a success. And then someone said, well, actually, no. Yeah, I want to pray for them this morning. I just want to pray that God would just do a great work there. We have a number of youth that are not part of the church families that attend our youth group, and I've been just thinking and praying for them in particular, that God might just reach in and touch them where they are living right now. And then also, as you know, we had our elections yesterday, and if you haven't, I looked last night and the results weren't up yet, but I looked again this morning. So we have a new mayor. Ross Siemens has been elected mayor. And then I'm guessing someone's happy about that. And then also for city council and trustees, there's like slightly more than 50% of the incumbents have been reelected, and then some new people, two or three people to the trustees and the council have been elected. And all that to say, Simon Gibson was actually elected onto city council. So he's been a part of our church family for a while. So that's great. So I want to pray for them, as Scripture teaches us to pray for those in authority. So just join me in prayer. Father, we begin by just lifting to you our youth, and thank you for just watching over them, first of all. Thank you for the leaders who have worked so hard to put this weekend together, to create an opportunity for young people to be challenged and encouraged, to just love being together as believers, and that for some students who are there, this would be a new experience. And I want to pray specifically for them, that the worship that they've experienced, the teaching that they've heard, that by your Holy Spirit they would be drawn into a relationship with you. And pray for our own students, that they would be very sensitive to their friends that might be making spiritual decisions, that they would learn to be disciplers, to encourage them along in the process of their growth. And so we pray that even in this last hour of hour or two of wrapping up, that your Spirit would just move in a really powerful way among all of those students. And Father, for our elections and things going on in our city, we do pray for those in authority. We pray, Father, for Ross Siemens, the new mayor, and just pray that you would give him strength and wisdom to lead in really challenging times. Thank you so much for our current mayor, for Henry, and for all that he's gone through, and the way you've enabled him to lead through crises. And as Ross now just picks up that mantle, we do pray for wisdom for him. And for the city council, for the school trustees that have been elected. And again, God, in a time where so much is in disruption, we pray for wise leaders, for people who will slow down and count the cost of decisions. And even, God, for those who are believers among them, that you would give them great wisdom on how to speak into the important issues of our city and of our school boards. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to just be a church together and to pursue your purposes in our lives. And as we consider in a couple of weeks a candidate to join us in this, we ask for wisdom in that. God, just to see, is this a person who could help us on our path of making disciple makers out of one another, and to pursue the values and the behaviors that implies? And I thank you so much for Janelle and for just her openness to learn in this area and to shape her ministries, the leadership of our children's ministries, with these same values. And so ask especially for that equipping time that they have set aside for next Sunday, that you would bless them in that, and that these principles that we're talking about would just make their way through like yeast, all the way through the body of Christ that is this church. Bless them as they leave now. We pray your blessing on the teachers and those who are with them. and ask you to guide us, Holy Spirit, as we open your word this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we go once again. So when we started this whole, developing leadership lessons theme, I didn't know what else to call it. I ended up calling it that. When we started that back in September, you may recall that I said I really didn't know what this was going to look like because I didn't know how to do this. I've been very much taught, you know, I stand up and talk, you listen, and then we all go home and watch afternoon football together and have a nap. But that I felt like this was important for us to try something new. And I remember saying that it feels really risky for me to invite a lot of feedback. And I remember also anticipating that this would be risky for you to actually risk saying things, but that we would learn together as we go. And it's been, I think, a really positive experience, and I want to thank you for your participation. We are now 5 weeks in, and there are some things that I've been observing about how we're doing this, and I want to share some of my observations with you in the context of today's teaching. And then at the end, ask you for some feedback to see if we're heading in the right direction. So I'm going to begin by asking how many of you took the opportunity this week to look at the disciple-making lessons that we posted online. Were some of you able to do that? Okay, that's what I thought, and that's why I want to talk about this. Because I'm not sure you've missed anything if you didn't look at them. Number one, I think these are really good, okay? I also think they're not necessary. I'm not sure we're headed in the right direction by doing this, and that's one of the things I want to talk about this morning. We are thinking about what are the best ways to prepare people to be disciple makers. What's the outcome that we actually want at the end of this? And as you know, we've been breaking out of the traditional Sunday morning format. Typically, if we wanted to create discipleship lessons, the normal thing would be for me to, you know, create an outline and here's the key verse, and then I'd give you maybe an outline of here's some bullet points, or you could fill in the blanks. And we could hand those out in the bulletin, and on Sunday morning, you're kind of taking some notes. And then at the end of the teaching time, you would go home with some teaching, with some bullet points and some applications, and we'd have it all summarized on a nice piece of paper that has all the information you need. That would be the normal way of doing things. But my concern is that having information on a piece of paper isn't all that helpful for us, that it's not really what we need. And the question that I'm asking myself, especially I kept asking myself a lot this week, is this. We're taking a different path in how we develop the material, okay? Rather than me deciding here's the key verse, here's the points, we're talking about what should these lessons be. We're deciding together what the content should be. We're deciding together what the key anchor verse should be. And in the end, we're ending up with another piece of paper. So the process has been different. We've been changing the process, but the end result hasn't changed that much. And that's what I've been thinking about this week, because we need more than a better piece of paper. I think the paper is better now because we've had more input, but it's still just information on a piece of paper. And our goal is not to put information on a piece of paper. Our goal is to prepare you, that we would prepare one another to be effective disciple makers, which is really different than putting information on a piece of paper. So we have to get past the paper, and in order to get into this concept of disciple making, we actually have to engage with other people with the scriptures that we're talking about, because that's where discipleship happens. I think that makes sense to you. And so I was reminded last week about the difference between teaching and training. Teaching is about content. Here's the information you need. I have now taught you. training is about mentoring, it's about equipping, it's about actually having experiences together and learning and growing from those experiences. Now, in a typical Sunday morning church in North America, we default to teaching, right? That's what I was taught in seminary. I was taught how to teach, how to communicate so that people could get clear information. That's the default mindset that I have, and I'm trying to break out of it, but I want to show you a number of ways in which I keep defaulting back to that mindset, okay? The first way is this. After taking all the information that we've had together, I sat down and summarized it on a piece of paper. To me, that says the information is what's most important. Accurate information recorded is what's most important. I'm going, that's not the outcome that we're after. So I've been thinking, how do I get rid of that outcome? It exposes the bias that I've been trained into that we're here to distribute information. And I keep going, I don't think that's why we're here. Even the title of this series, I landed on Developing Leadership Lessons, which is information on a piece of paper. And I keep going, I did it again. And so I keep falling into this bias of communicating information and thinking that by communicating information, we have now been equipped to make disciples. But a training mindset would actually behave differently. Now, one of the struggles I have was this. By creating lessons, I know when we're done. Okay? I know what a completed lesson looks like. I get Carrie to proofread it for me, and I spell check it, and I make sure all the columns are really nice and neat, and there's little graphics in there, and I go, great, lesson one is done. That's great. What's really hard is knowing, when have you equipped people? Because that's really messy. That's a really hard thing to measure. And so I'm going, have we done anything this week? Well, the best way for me to say we've done something this week is to produce something that's really tangible. And so now I'm going, I think I have to let go of that tangible piece and actually live with the messiness, some of the unknown of actually saying maybe disciple making isn't quite as clear cut as having a summary on a piece of paper. So if we're after actually developing competencies, how could we do this a little different? And that's the thing that I want to talk about with you this morning. If the competency that we're after is specifically making disciples, and if we want to be competent in that, in the words of 2 Timothy 2:2, where Paul was saying to Timothy, I want you to teach in such a way so that they are able to pass it on to others. So there's a competency involved. If that's what we're after, then we have to shift from teaching to training, interaction. And so I want to talk about that shift with you this morning and what I think that can look like. So when we began, I suggested there were two competencies that I thought it would be important for us to work on. This morning, I want to add a third to that. And so let me just go through these so that you're tracking with me. The first competency that I think we need to have is to be able to articulate where to begin with a new believer. And you may recall that's the question we started with about 5 weeks ago now. If you were to disciple a new believer, if there was a new believer and I said, hey, would you disciple this person, where would you start? That was our first question. And so to be able to have an answer to that question, I think is really important. That we would have the competency to be able to say, I'm going to start right here. And so what we did is through a series of reporting and assimilating a whole bunch of responses, we nailed it down to five different things that we thought were important. Do you remember that Sunday we did that together? Okay. Then what we said was, okay, being able to talk about what the five topics are, that's great, but that doesn't mean we're competent in them yet. Right? All that does is it says we know where to start, doesn't say we yet know how to start. So second competency was that we were to memorize an anchor verse for each lesson. Remember we said that? And so we started by saying, hey, let's memorize the first verse for the first lesson. And we are now two lessons, studies, whatever you want to call it. We're two in. And so what I want to do this morning is start off by saying, would someone be courageous enough to tell us what that first topic is, the place that we agreed we would start, and what the memory verse is? Boy, here we go. So now we're actually, oh, Rosalie in the back has her hands up. Go for it. So how to read the Bible. Awesome. Thank you, Rosalie. Joshua 1:8 for the first lesson on how to read the Bible. Okay. Second lesson was what? Someone else? Renee? How to pray? 6, 9 to 13, but go for it. Yep. Numbers aren't as important as... It's okay. That's it. Yes, forgive. Yep. Thanks. Thank you so much. That's awesome. So we have two lessons that we've talked about, and we have two scriptures that we are, I'm going to suggest, I really want to encourage you to engage in the scripture memory piece. This, to me, this is a really important piece. And this is where now I want to show you why. I want to introduce a third competency already. So the third competency would be this, that we would be able to practice and communicate the discipleship behaviors that come out of the anchor verse. So each one of those verses that we just heard, they have some behaviors in them. We want to be not only practicing them, but to be able to communicate them. That's the competency that we're after. So, Carrie, if you could put Joshua 1:8 up there for us. So this is what Rosalie just read to us. And I want you to imagine that you have this memorized, okay? But for the sake of today, I'm going to leave it up on the screen. But imagine yourself sitting in Starbucks with a friend of yours, and that friend has come to the point of saying, boy, you know what, I'm interested in spiritual things, but the Bible just seems impossible. I wouldn't have a clue how to read it. You could, without having a Bible ready, without having anything in your hand, say, let me tell you where to start. You could take a napkin, and because you have this memorized, you could write down Joshua 1:8. It's right there because you have this ready to go, okay? So imagine this is now your napkin. You've written it down for your friend. The next thing is, what is it you need to say coming out of this verse? And so what I want you to think about is, what are some key words in this verse as you're writing on your napkin? You take your pen, you go, I'm going to circle this word because I want to tell you something about that, okay? So what word would you choose? And then you'd say something about that. What's the second thing that you would underline or circle? And so I want you to think about what are the words in each verse that you would do this with. Does that make sense? You got some things going on in your brain right now? Okay, so with that, I want you now to turn into groups of 6, 8, whatever's comfortable. And I would like you to share what that key word is. So let's just do these one at a time. Share one of the key words and say, okay, how many people had that? And then to share, what is it you would say about that word? Okay, so how would you explain it? And The second part, really important, how are you doing it? Because if we're discipling someone, we should be saying, here's how I do this. Because discipling is mentoring. Okay? So now we're making ourselves accountable to the things that we're trying to teach a new believer. So let's go into groups of six or eight. Just turn your chairs. And we'll start off with one word at a time. What's a key word? So a word that you would circle or underline. And then, how would you explain that word? And then thirdly, how are you doing that? How are you actually practicing that behavior? Okay, take a few minutes with that. So if you're still working on the first word and what that means, let me encourage you to go on and do at least one more word. We probably won't get through everything that could be done, but let me encourage you to move on to one more point that comes out of this and see if you can at least identify one more and talk a little bit about what would you say about it and how are you doing it. All right, I'm going to ask you to just wrap up where you are, and what I want to do is let's just do this exercise together, and just out of your groups, you can give us some of the responses that you had. So as I walked around and asked groups, hey, what's the first word that you started with? Just about everybody said meditate. Okay, that makes total sense. So what would you, here's the hard part, what would you say to someone about what does it mean to meditate? What would you want a new believer to understand about it, and how do you do that? How do you do that? What did you come up with in your groups? Okay. Okay, so that meditation is not just this really ethereal blanking your mind kind of meditation that can be part of some of different world religions or different experiences, but it's actually a focused meditation. You're meditating on something. That's important. Anyone else? How do you meditate? Okay, so let me ask it differently. How do you meditate? Yes?
I find worship songs that have that content in that I'm reading about and listen to those worship songs so that it sticks differently.
Okay. So using worship songs to meditate, it's guiding your thoughts and filling your mind with thoughts that that may be connected to that actual scripture. Excellent. Other ways? Start by reading it. Yeah, just literally reading it out loud. That's, or it doesn't have to be out loud, but absolutely. Reading it maybe many times. That's meditating. Other thoughts? I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay, so an exercise of, if you take the alphabet and so the letter A, is there something in there that comes out of that? It forces you to think creatively about the verse if you kind of go through the alphabet. I've never done that before. That's interesting. Thank you. Others? How many of you journal, write stuff down? Yeah, that's my primary way of meditating because I'm actually slowing down enough to write things down. What about other people? Yeah, Don. Okay, so getting a really quiet, sacred space. Jesus actually called that the closet, where you're by yourself with God, and that is you're just listening to the things that he has to say to you. So these are all excellent ways to meditate. And so Again, what I would encourage you is to think through some different things and then to be able to say, here's how I do it. So for me, I would say, you know what, I grab my coffee first thing in the morning and I open the curtains so that I can see the sunrise, and I take that first half hour, 45 minutes, and I read through the scripture and I just start writing things down. That's how I meditate. I mean, it's really simple, really practical. But if we say meditate, people go, I don't know how to do that. Like, how do you sit properly? And so I want to create a picture of coffee and comfort. Yeah, Sean.
When you think of meditate, Philippians 4, 8 and 9 comes to mind. Is this good? Brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is excellent, whatever is praiseworthy, if anything is admirable, think on such things, meditate on such things.
Okay. So out of Philippians, whatever is true, right, noble, pure, think on these things. And the scripture that you're reading that morning would fall into that category. So just think about it. And part of meditation is actually hearing what God has to say to you. So just good practical stuff there. Did anybody get to a second behavior? What's another word or phrase or something? Yeah, Brian. Okay.
But if you can't remember it all, having it on the homepage of your phone so you can find it and do word searches and stuff that way. So
okay.
Be intentional about where you keep the Bible so that you can easily access it and
okay.
reference it.
So that it should not depart from your mouth. And what Brian's talking about is find ways to make it accessible to you during the day. You may want to take a picture of it and have that as your home screen for the day. That's a really good practical way of doing things. Or if you memorize it, you can actually recite it during the day. There's lots of different ways that you can actually take it with you. The point there is that we don't read it and then say, okay, that's done. Now I'm going to go to work. And it has nothing to do with how you live your day. The point is you're bringing it with you, and that it's always with you through the course of that day. And that's a discipline to learn, to not just leave your devotional reading or your meditation behind tonight. So we could go through this whole thing. We could talk about what does day and night mean? Like literally, are you doing this like all day and all night? Like I have to go to work. And so, you know, what does that mean? And you could talk about just the fact that, you know, for me, I start off the day like that, and then like Brian, I try to think about it through the course of the day, and then some people will do morning and evening things, and there's actually a lot of history behind this, where in the morning, there's this expectation of God, what do you want to teach me, show me during the day, and in the evening, you're reflecting, okay, God, where did I see you at work today? And so there's that morning and evening rhythm. There's lots of ways of doing this. And so again, then I would say, okay, so what's your practice? How do you actually do that? And so you can do that with all of these things. Another thing that I would take out of this, be careful to do according to what you're reading. That is so important, that there's actually something that you're writing down. You're going, this is what the scripture says. I'm going to do this. How do you make yourself accountable to the scripture you read? That's a great discipleship question. That I'm not allowing myself to read something and then go, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. Just ignore it. What is me being accountable to actually doing the things I read? What does that actually look like? How do you do that? How do you hold yourself accountable during the day? And then imagine again that you are with someone that's a new Christian. How sad would it be if what we taught them was, here's what the Bible says, now you can forget about it for the rest of the day and you don't have to do it. What we want to do is actually model and disciple the discipline of reading the Word and obeying it, which means we have to read the Word and obey it. And we have to be able to say, here's how I do that. So again, all of this to say, the process of going through this verse, sitting beside someone, that is way more valuable than having it written down on a piece of paper. It's way more valuable. Now, Don, your group was a little bit on another wavelength for a little while. So tell us where you guys were, because I think this is actually a really good point. No, it doesn't matter. But tell us what you don't have to resolve it. Just tell us what the conversation was about. Okay, so that group essentially was saying, I think we should start with lesson four, because lesson four is the presence of the Holy Spirit and the indwelling work of God, okay? So whether it's one or four, and honestly, Don, I would go, great. So we haven't picked a lesson, we haven't picked a verse for that, we can't talk about it really yet, but yeah. Yes.
Now, if you take that and you look at the verse in the New Scriptures in the New Testament that says that the book of the law is written on our hearts.
Yes.
That the Holy Spirit brings us back to our hearts to convict and to tell us what we're doing well and everything like that. So if we have a relationship with him, as I would say, with the Lord, and then he's bringing us back to Scripture and bringing us back to what he's
doing. Awesome. So I'm going to repeat what you just said really quickly for the sake of the recording. But the challenge is that if you start with Joshua 1, it's number one, it's in the Old Testament, and the word law that it's referred to or is talk about is talking about, it's not just the Old Testament law, the Ten Commandments. When the Old Testament talks about the law, it's talking about the first five books of the Old Testament, so Genesis through Deuteronomy. So it's talking about how do you follow God. Is that how we would want to teach someone to follow God? Is that the best verse? And so is it the best way to, you know, should we start with that or should we start with, I don't know what the reference is, but that the law is actually written on our hearts? And going, okay, another great question. So here's where I want to go with this. If what we're after is let's get the absolute right verse written down in a way that we can all explain it, then we're going to end up with information on a piece of paper. And that's not what we're after. If what we're after is, how do we help someone understand the Scripture, then this type of conversation might very naturally come up in the course of the conversation, the discipling conversation. So absolutely, you can talk about that with the person. The benefit of this verse is, and there's no denying this, we should meditate, we should do it daily, we should obey. So those things, and it does lead to prosperity and success. Now, what the law is, you could easily say, you know what, this isn't the Ten Commandments. It's actually talking about everything God says to us about life and leave it at that for now. We don't have to cover everything right away. But if you're not having a conversation over coffee or in your living room, this will never come up. And that's the point. We have to actually engage with people so that we can have the conversations. So to me, it's really important that that we're after settings that we can actually do this together. So let me just quickly wrap up here. One of the most important elements for me in the making of disciples, which again is different than communicating information. The most important things in making disciples is creating a culture in which a disciple, which is you and the person that you're leading, is both empowered to read the Scripture themselves, okay, and expected to obey the Scripture. Empowered to read it for themselves. You don't need a pastor to tell you what it says because the Holy Spirit is our teacher. Empowered to read it and expected to obey it. those two outcomes. And we want to, again, is this lesson one or is it lesson four? We want to teach them to rely on the Holy Spirit. And I mean, yeah, you can talk about it in lesson one, even though in lesson four, this is a fluid conversation. This is not four lessons that are we have to do in order. And that's where the fluidity of this is coming from. And that's why I think this is really important. So based on that, do I even need to keep writing the summaries? Is that even important? Okay, so I'm getting some people saying, yes, it's important. Here's my challenge with this. By writing it down, there's an implication that the way I said it, the way I recorded it, is right. That's just inherent in me writing it down, because I can't do it without writing it down what's important to me. If I say, hey, it's more important for you to go through it under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and let Him teach you what it says, even though we may stumble and struggle, that the process of doing it is more important than the accuracy of the information. And that's where I'm kind of struggling right now. So part of me wants to go, let's have it there just in case we need it. And the other part of me wants to go, no, let's force people to say, okay, Holy Spirit, teach me right in the moment. And so, Renee.
I was just wondering if you could tap like the theme of Holy Spirit prayer and then the verse and leave that on paper.
Yeah.
And then we
absolutely.
It's better for us not to have numbers.
Yeah.
Just to have topics
there. Here's where my bias would be. Rather than me writing lessons, that we say, here's number one, here's the verse, here's number two, here's the verse, and as we go through, we put a verse down. And if you can remember, okay, lesson one, how to read the Bible, Joshua 1:8, and when you write it out, what you just start circling words. What are key words? If you can do that, then you've got the study right in front of you. You've just identified the key words. It really is that easy, and then from there, the Holy Spirit teaches you. So my bias would be to say, hey, let's just have all these verses that we agree on somewhere down the road. And someone may say, I don't like Joshua 1:8 because I think this verse is better. Great. Absolutely. Go with it. The idea is we're taking Scripture, showing people how to read it. Melissa, you've had your hand up twice. Right. Yeah. Listening to the person is key. And then, yeah, you may decide, hey, you know what? We need to start on, you know, how to pray, because that's more important to this person than how to read the Bible right now. But you've got it. You go, how to pray? Okay, I'm going to go to Matthew 6 now, and here's the verse. You write it out, circle a few key words that you want to talk to about that person. So, again, now we're becoming really skillful, adaptable people. We have a number of tools in our pocket that we could pick up at any time. Again, that's really different than here's five lessons, do them in a row, and make sure you check the box at the end of it. I'm being a little facetious here, but you know what I'm saying. I need to wrap up because our children's classes are James, you want to come and lead us? And what I would encourage you to do is what is most important in this is that we are both practicing and communicating. And so to me what that means is we need to be in a setting where we can talk about this. So if you're in a small group, a home group of some kind, I would encourage you, just like we're trying to do on Sunday mornings now, to build in those values of, am I practicing the things that we're talking about? What are the two words? Practice and communicate. So that I'm able to share what they are, but I'm also able to say, here's how I'm doing it. Now, my guess is that we're going to come to some of these things, and some of you in a small group are saying, well, I actually don't do that. I actually don't spend time in the Bible every day. Well, how wonderful for you to be able to be able to be encouraged to say, hey, you know what? Would you start? Let us help you. And next week when we come together, let's talk about how that went. Friends, that's discipling. Holding each other accountable to doing the things that Scripture says. And if we want to create this culture of disciple making, you can't do it without obedience, and you can't do it without a community of people that lovingly encourage you into obedience. So it's not accountability as, oh, you failed or whatever. This is accountability that says we're going to love and encourage one another to do the things that Scripture says. So if you're not in a small group, I would encourage you, who do you hang around with? Who could you do this with? Kurt said last week that he and I get together. I'm thinking, I got to do this with Kurt. We'll take part of our time together, and that's what we're going to do. What are you reading? What are you obeying? And if not, come on, man, slap on the side of the head, and he'll slap me on the side of the head, and we'll obey the Scriptures, because that's really important. Father, I pray that you would give us the wisdom by your Holy Spirit to lead people who want to follow you. I pray that you would give us by your Holy Spirit the wisdom to draw upon the Scriptures and to be able to set good foundations. I pray that you would make us comfortable without having set lessons or memorized things to do, that we could model for new believers, that they too can read the Scripture and be taught by your Holy Spirit. I pray that you'd move us out of the predictability of set lessons. Make us comfortable in the messiness of discipling relationships. And give us the privilege of discipling people to be your kingdom people. Amen.